what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hey, this is John Forward, and you're listening to St. John Forward Radio on Local FM. We're live. It's 9.02 p.m. right now. You can listen to it every Monday night live if you want to on 107.3 FM or on localfm.ca, or I put it up on the internet on the Wednesday. That goes on johnforward.com regardless, but I've mentioned this in the past, and then I forgot about it, and then backed off, but I'm back in it full force. We're officially changing the podcast feed from htothec.podbean.com to johnforward.podbean.com. I'm gonna set a reminder on my phone right now. We're recording this on Monday, May 8th. May 10th, it's going to go up on the internet, regular old H to the C. And then Saturday, I'm setting my alarm. I'm changing it over to johnforward.podbean, and there's nothing that any of you can do to stop me. And so, you've been warned. I don't know if that's going to affect. We had 7 people... 7 downloads of the Andrew Vaughn podcast, My Comedy Week, that I forgot to talk about last week or the week before. But that was released in the main podcast feed without any fanfare, because, you know, if you're going to get it anyway, if you're going to seek it out, get it from andrewvaughncomedy.ca. That was just there as a bonus so that it's part of the collection. But if you're going to seek it out, give him the ratings for it. It was a good episode. I talked a little bit about Flyergate and various other things. Just had a solid No Jokes Barred Deluxe this past Friday at O'Leary's. I was hosting it. We had Mandy Lynn Donovan, Arif Hussein in the feature spots. And last week's guest, Ken Bolton, gave us a rousing headline performance. I did a little bit of a comedy duo with each person afterwards, which was kind of fun. It might be something that... that comes back at some point. I think my favorite part, as good as the show was, I enjoy the post-show hangout in the, we just hang out upstairs in the, in O'Leary's. There's nothing going on after us, so we get to hide out in the upstairs and we don't need to, listen to any of the awful Irish music playing into the main room, and we don't have to listen to the cover band that's in the back room. We just get to, have a conversation, and at one point my dear wife May was we were all talking with Arif Hussein, and she had mentioned how she, when she was younger, she used to play a lot of video games, but she doesn't bother anymore because she doesn't really feel like she has anything to show for it afterwards. And I was playing the devil's advocate, and I said, well, what do we really have to show for it tonight at? We just did a comedy show, and that's over, so what? People laughed, and that was something. I guess that's the difference. Since video games is a personal thing, you can feel good about it, but Arif's point was that we did a comedy show, and we made a room full of people laugh, so that's a little bit... more to it, but I get, my point wasn't that stand-up is as pointless as video games. It was more that video games don't necessarily need to be pointless, and I was thinking about what to talk about on the show this afternoon, and I thought one of my favorite games is Dark Souls, various iterations of that, And I thought my journey through the five different Souls games has been similar through my comedy journey. Like it started with Demon Souls. I probably should have checked to see when these things came out. But on the PS3, I remember when I first got it, this was a notoriously hard game. Much like stand-up comedy is hard. And there's this opening staircase where you just, there's probably a dozen low-level enemies scattered all out this door, this staircase going up to a castle. And I remember when I first fired up the game, I would just get like five steps in and die. Five steps in and six steps in and die. Three steps in and die. And just, I spent hours just throwing myself at this staircase and trying to get up it and dying, trying to get up and dying. And it just keep happening over and over again, but I stuck with it. And eventually at a certain point, you start to learn, like, it's not cheap. Whenever I died, it was my own fault, but the game doesn't really hold your hand. And at a certain point, it just kind of clicked. Where it got to the point where it just all of a sudden made sense, and you could get up that staircase no problem, and then, you know, the further horrors would immediately kill you after that. But you kind of take the game one piece at a time, and even once you get past one challenge, the game still remains hard, but you just keep at it, and you get a little bit further every time. And you know, you sometimes you get cocky and you fail, you think that you're doing it right, and then you do the wrong thing and you get a knife through the head, and you just keep working at it. Sometimes you pick up a new sword that completely changes your whole approach to how you play. Sometimes you, once you get to a certain point, you unlock certain shortcuts that allow you to get to, like, the good part that much quicker. And I don't know, even just like with comedy, I think that I had a couple of false starts. I had some with this game. There was a couple hours where I got frustrated with the staircase and gave up on it, and then got a little bit further and got about a third of the way through the game and failed on it. But then when I heard that Dark Souls 1 was coming out later on, I was really excited about it, so I went back and decided to finish Demon Souls. It's like I've come in and out of comedy a couple of times, and this metaphor is stretching a little thin now that I'm saying it out loud, but we're going to soldier on. I've played five. There was Demon Souls, and there's Dark Souls 1 and 2, and then Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3. It's five games. There aren't many games that I've played five of them that I still get as far into it, because you're basically using the same skills game after game, but they change up the settings, and there's new kinds of enemies, and there's new kinds of stuff. And I want my game to be a little bit hard, just like I like comedy to be a little bit hard. It's no fun if you just breeze through and there's no challenge. Like the most disappointing moment in a Dark Souls game is when you beat one of the bosses on the first try. You're just like, oh really? That's it? It doesn't feel as good when you just bowl over it. And I don't want comedy to ever feel easy to me. I don't ever want to show up and just play the same level over and over and over again. And even if I do well, I don't want to do the same racetrack in Mario Kart 1,000,000 times and shave like 1/100th of a second off my lap time. That doesn't seem very fun. But I want to do different venues and do different kinds of material and keep it fresh. Like sometimes you want to do more challenging material where you say something where you're not really sure if the crowd's going to be on board with you, and sometimes you dig yourself in a hole, but then you climb back out. That's like when you're on the verge of dying in the boss fight, and then all of a sudden you make the comeback. It's that much more satisfying when you finally beat that boss, when you're down to your last sliver of health, and then all of a sudden it explodes into Dusty Souls, and your little counter goes up, and you get the big letters on the screen that the boss had been defeated. That's the feeling that you get when you go into a bad comedy situation, or you dig yourself into a hole and you get back out, and you get a big round of applause, or maybe a standing ovation at the end. But even with that, that's just one boss fight, and there's many more, and you keep doing the same thing, you might want to, I don't know, you change it up with the mirror image flipped. For Dark Souls, I've played all those games, but there's still new stuff that I can get into. I could work more on the competitive part and fighting other people, do different builds, different weapons. You just mix it up. And sometimes it's not, the path isn't laid out for you. It's not like level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. There's all these different paths that you can get. And sometimes a path that you can physically go down, you end up, you're too weak to move on. You go down this path and you just take 3 steps in and you get a hammer to the face. That happens with comedy too. When I did my headline spot at the Delta, that might have been, I should have turned, maybe I could have turned, that wasn't the way that I was supposed to go at that point in time, but I went and I saw it, I got my face smashed in, but spent a little bit more time grinding and leveling up, and next time I go back there, I'll know what I'm in for. So it wasn't a complete waste of time to go down that path, if only to find out that you're not ready for it yet. And so as satisfying as it is to beat a boss in a video game, comedy can have more tangible results. Like, Arif was right. We did make people laugh, so that made someone else's day better. So that was good. Everybody got to express themselves. And with comedy, you can challenge people, and you can maybe change their minds. You can make a connection with somebody by saying something that they relate to. You can make people question just things that we take for granted, and all that stuff could happen at a Klan rally too. But I don't know. I think intentions. Well, you're rolling your eyes at me. But the difference is that I'm making the intentions matter. People aren't going into comedy specifically to make life more difficult for people that already have a difficult life. If comedians are trying to make anybody's life more difficult, it's people that are already hurting other people. So that's the one thing that I think comedians have over members of the Ku Klux Klan. But I don't know. I still think the good things outweigh the bad, and there's still going to be people left in the wake, though. There's people that are going to get hurt by their comedy, because even your good intentions can lead to unintended consequences, and some people don't want to be challenged, and some people don't want to be grossed out by saying yucky things. People don't want to be triggered or offended, and I'm okay with that, because those people made a decision to come to a comedy show, and they should know that that's part of it. But my guest is one of many people that didn't necessarily sign up for the bludgeon to the face that stand-up comedy can bring. My poor comedy wife, May Wonderful, how are you doing?
I'm good, hello. Is this mic hot?
It is. It's not directed properly in front of
there.
Your mouth.
Hello?
Hi. So you've been on the show previously,
yes.
And we're going to talk about some more stuff.
I think this is my third time.
It is. First time, third time guest. And we're going to start out with a song, and then we'll be back with May Wonderful. If anybody... what's that noise?
It's outdoors, I think.
All right. Well, if anybody wants to call in with comments, questions, whatever, the phone number is 648-5925, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Here's some Hugh Dillon on St. John Forward Radio.
If you count on my mistakes, I would have to walk away. I just could not take another yesterday. I've not the strength to fade away. Now if I admit defeat, tell me what then will that mean? Will I cease to be, or will I be redeemed, or will it be the end of me? And you ought to know by now, to get out from under that cloud that took all my power, and it's the only thing that counts. Well, I smile as I stand here today, with all the mistakes I've made. Now in my darkest night, they're the brightest stars in the sky. If you count on my mistakes, I would have to walk away. I just could not take another yesterday. I've not the strength to fade away. Get out from under that cloud that took all my power, and it's the only thing that counts. Well, I smile as I stand here today with all the mistakes I've made. Now in my darkest night, they're the brightest stars in the sky. If you count all my mistakes, I would have to walk away. I just could not take another yesterday. I've not the strength to fade away.
I tried to hum earlier, but didn't work. Oh, the phone's on shuffle. Good thing I turned down the volume, too, so... You're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with my guest, May Wonderful.
Hello.
I think I already asked you how you were, and you said you were good.
I think
good.
I said I was good.
Yeah. Are you still,
I am.
These 3 minutes later, are you still pretty good?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I was just messing around on my phone a little bit.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty zen.
You feeling all limbered up? We just came from yoga class before this.
Pretty chill.
Yeah. Did you have an easier time at yoga last time? You said
no.
you were, what was your main struggle with tonight?
My back gets really sore when we're just sitting, so I don't think that's good.
You need to go to a chiropractor or a massage person. You need to get manhandled by the one.
They touch you at those places.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So. You were at the show on Friday. Do you have any audience perspective on how did you enjoy the show?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good show. Good turnout, and I also liked the little duets in between the sets. I thought that was a nice touch. I'm 85% certain the comments you're attributing to Arif were actually me.
What?
I'm pretty sure that I'm the one that said. It's not nothing. You're making people happy, so that's something.
Well, he sees that we made you. You agreed with him. I'll give you that, though.
I'm pretty sure I said it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
you need to
get the microphone closer to your mouth.
Oh, sorry. There, is that good?
Well, I think it's on.
Put my lips right on it.
Yeah, that's better. So, last time you were here, we were discussing your relatively new sobriety.
Yeah.
We're coming up on your 1 year anniversary.
Next Tuesday.
So, how's it feel?
Good.
Has anything changed since last time that you were here?
I don't think so. No. I think I'm still doing pretty good.
Well, you've talked about, like, I don't know if it's been an ongoing thing, but are you missing it more or less?
Oh.
That seems like more of a newer angle to it, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't miss being sick, and I don't ever get the urge to, like, have the drink, but I think I kind of miss, I still feel isolated. I think I'm noticing it more the further I get from remembering how awful I felt. I think the more dangerous it is, because I kind of forget the badness of it and have rosy memories. But I know, like, I still know that it just wouldn't turn out very good.
Yeah, well, even on, like, this much smaller level, the person that wakes up hungover, like, and sick the next day is like, never again. But you know,
yeah, exactly.
That's when you're immediately feeling the results of it. So
yeah,
so we're a year out. I don't know. How has your life improved in the past year?
Oh, man. Just exponentially. Like, I get so much done now. I feel... This is going to sound really weird. My confidence... I don't know that I would say my confidence has improved, but I definitely feel better about myself. I think I'm more anxious than I was. I think that I kind of...
You were self-medicating.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the issue. It's just for, you know, the last... Well, probably since I was 17 or 18 years old, I've been feeling anxious and just drinking to kind of cover that up.
So yoga is not filling that bottle-shaped hole?
No, not really. It's good. I think that... it makes me feel like I'm exercising...
It's sort of like exercise.
Well, it's hard to... I'm not trashing yoga. I have a good time and I feel really relaxed and nice. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I'm doing something proactive.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I do a lot more just stuff now. When I was drinking all the time, I never did anything, but I
like
just kind of... I've been going to the museum once a week and doing hand crafts. So I've done some embroidery and some macrame.
Nice.
Painted some eggs, so that's fun. I don't know. I think I'm just crafting more stuff. Did some courses for school.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and do stuff.
What do you want to talk about? Do you have anything that helps you through it? Like specifically, other than just living your life and doing more.
I don't know.
Reading books, talking to people.
I hate reading. Reading books is awful for me because I can't pay attention. I think what's helped me is just kind of focusing on the stuff I really enjoy. Anyone who has seen my Instagram or my Facebook knows that I do like doll customizations, make their clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that a lot. I like that. And I don't know.
Yeah, and I've over the past couple of weeks, I started reading your book that I borrowed from you. What's it called?
Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget.
Yeah,
by Sarah Heppala.
So I think five chapters into that, and
do you
it's
like it?
Yeah, it's an interesting read, and I can see which pages that you've got dog-eared, so I'm trying to pick out, like, on the page, like, which part of this.
You know what? I went back to those, and I couldn't figure it out, so I was like, oh, jeez.
I could kind of see it sort of some of them.
Yeah.
And then I think there was one where it sounded a lot when you were drinking a lot, when we first started to get together, and you were... like the whole drunken flirting situation that we were in previous to getting together, but it's just I think it's good just hearing the personal stories of what it actually is like to have a blackout, because that's not something that I've personally experienced in my life.
I've even had people make comments. Maybe I might have already said this the last time I was on the show, but I've had people make comments to me. You know, that just kind of reveal that they are under the impression that a blackout is when you pass out, but that's not... I wish that I would have passed out.
Yeah, I think
you just,
that, I
your
think
brain
that's how
shuts
people
off
mostly.
And you just keep on trucking, and it's bad.
Yeah, so it's not so much a... Most people use it just as, I blacked out on the couch.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so it's... I didn't understand, and you'd explained it to me before that there's actual... like memory loss, where you're still up and about and doing stuff and just having no idea. Like, I don't know. I just always thought that the drunken I forget what happened last night was kind of like a cop out that people do if they do something horrible and then the next day they just feel bad about it and they're like, well, yeah,
There is a degree of that, because sometimes it was a brownout and I would get pieces of what I'd done, and then it's easier just to forget the whole thing and just say, oh, it never happened.
Well, is there something, like, she talks about it in the book, I don't think I've ever asked you this, you may have told me, but is there any specific things that you remember, like, kind of a, I can't believe you did this last night that you had, like, that you'd had to hear about the next day that you didn't remember happening?
Nothing bad, because I've fortunately been told I was, like, a fun person to be around. But the Halloween that I was B.A. Johnston, I don't even know his last name. The pictures and stuff of us at the panic room and me with different people at Pepper's, I have no recollection of that at all. And I only know because I saw the pictures the next day. And I also, there were selfies of me with some guy, and I've never seen him, don't know who he is.
Oh, you're going to have to show me these. So I'll have to fight them.
Oh, they're gone. No, they're gone now. But, like, just dumb stuff like that. And kind of what happens now is pretty frequently I'll run into people, and it'll happen. A lot of the times it happens either when I'm at O'Leary's for No Jokes Barred or just out and about. People will come up and be like, oh, hey, how are you? And oh, my God. And oh, yeah, how's it going, girl? And I have no idea who they are. So, and this isn't, like, my other problem, as you know, is that I don't recognize people's faces very well. So yeah, that's
probably a mixture of the two.
Yeah. Like, usually I can tell by, like, somebody's gait or, you know, something they're wearing. I can pick out pretty quickly who they are, and then once they speak to me, I'm good. But this is a different case where I just am like, I have no clue who that person is. But they are nice, so I guess I guess we had a good time.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Yikes.
It's well, if we don't have anything more on this subject, we can play your song request. All right. If you
yeah,
want to
no,
set that
I just
up for us.
Just one quick thing. I just say, like, I feel I don't want to give off the air that this was a bad decision. This was absolutely the best thing I've ever done for myself. I gave myself a gift. I'm having a great time. I feel better than I have felt in a very long time. So if anyone's thinking of cutting back or quitting altogether, just give it a go. I still have a lot of fun when we go out.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Not an issue. This song is Pocket Knife by PJ Harvey. It's from her album, Uh-Huh Her.
Mm-hmm.
I forget when it came out, early 2000s, I think.
Maybe
mid-2000s. I don't know that this song in and of itself has any particular meaning for me. I just like it.
2004.
Yeah, mid-2000s. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just like it. I used to listen to this album a lot. I used to work for a bank, and I worked in the cash cage out back, and we couldn't get any radio signals in there, so we'd bring CDs in. So I used to listen to this a lot in there.
All right.
And there's one swear in it.
That's fine.
So,
well, I was saying I would have preferred more swears.
I only like songs with one swear.
We're gonna let that slide after this station.
Wonderful.
ID on St. John Forward Radio. Oh wait, false start. Every time. We need to have a separate producer to one person do the talking, somebody else hit the buttons, but. For now, I'm going to multitask on St. John Forward Radio.
This is Sarah Rankin, your friendly, fundy Fringe Festival director, and you're listening to Local 107.3. Make me be a wife.
on St. John Forward Radio with my guest, May Wonderful.
Hello.
We just heard some PJ Harvey with Pocket
Knife. Isn't she the best? Don't you love her?
She's all right.
She's great.
So we were talking about the O'Leary's show before,
yeah.
Which you generally come out to those, but. Mm-hmm. If fans of No Jokes Barred may have noticed that that May Wonderful has not been at the R Bar for the regular No Jokes Barred shows lately. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer because I did enjoy. That's kind of where the DIY, you know, stuff happens, and you get to see new people taking chances. But that bar, I find the mixture of civilians and comedy folk together, it's kind of frightening. It's probably a combination of the sobriety, the anxiety, and just, so I'm already on edge when I'm there, but also I'm really certain that something bad's going to happen because there are people in there who they're the regulars, mm-hmm. and a lot of them have been drinking all day, and then the comedians roll in and they're kind of upsetting the apple cart, and you play your loud screeching music, and you know, sometimes that upsets the regulars, and they'll shout out something, and then the comedians, they like to try and put the regulars in their place, and I'm just kind of convinced that that's going to not go well eventually.
It's possible, but it hasn't been... I think as we've gone, the conflicts with the regulars have decreased over. We're coming up on 3 years.
I mean, could be. I think they kind of know now the drill that for, you know, 2 hours a month, that's not karaoke.
Well, I think the comedy people outnumber the regular people.
They do
a lot more than it used to.
However, it only takes one, and you never know. And I'm not even saying that it could be a regular that starts something. It could be a comedian or someone brought by a comedian that starts the fight. I just think that it's a powder keg, and I would like to not be there at that particular time.
Well, worst case scenario, we've got Rudy mouthing off, but then a year later he comes on St. John Forward Radio.
That was very good. I loved that episode. I like when you're making up with people and being cool friends.
Well, I do too.
That's my favorite part.
Well, I'm glad that something I do is not creating more stress and
turmoil
problems with
in my
you.
Life.
Yeah. This was the main reason that we were brought in. We've had many discussions about this at home privately, but it's time to air our dirty laundry, May.
I guess so.
May, I go through many various dramas through the comedy, which takes enough of a toll on me, but I've been working through it, and if you listen to all of the episodes of this show, probably back to back, you can probably see kind of an arc with it as I go through and start going to therapy and all that stuff, but it's one thing for me to come to terms with my own stuff, and because I've got some control over it, but you're just an innocent bystander.
I'm just along for the ride, and it all unfolds on my timeline. And because I'm friends with all of your friends, sometimes as much as I try and ignore things, it just floats on by, and it'll be dolly pick, food pick, drama.
Okay, well, let's talk about that specifically. So let's say you're just scrolling through some dollies.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you come across comedy beef on Facebook. What happens to you?
I immediately feel hot. I start to sweat. I feel cramps, like I have to poop. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel very nervous. I think what I'm experiencing at that time is a mild panic attack. I immediately assume the absolute worst, which for me would be, I don't even know if I can articulate it, that it would cross over into being a physical fight. I'm fairly certain at some point you're going to get punched in the mouth, and that I'm going to be there and see it, and it's going to be terrible.
There's worse things that can happen than a punch in the mouth.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't,
I'd survive.
There's no hierarchy for me. I'd prefer that didn't happen, if we can avoid it. But what I also try to, it's making me upset talking about it.
So if anyone's thinking of punching me in the mouth, just realize it's going to hurt May more than me.
Do it at an R Bar show, because I don't go to those. I don't know. I just always, well, obviously I care about you very much, and I love you, and I think what upsets me is that, and you've always been like this, this predates Facebook. This is from, like, back when we were on the Hired Goons and, like, Draft Cycle message boards. You would be trash-talking people there. We weren't even dating then, and it used to upset me then. And I think the main reason that
I tell it like it is.
No, I think the main reason I get so upset is because you come off as a real jerk sometimes. And if I only knew you, look at you looking all sad, as if I've never said this to you before. But if my only exposure to you was Facebook John Forward, like johnforward.com comedy edge bro, I would not like you. I would.
Well, and let's have some examples.
Well, just lipping off at people, and like, you're under the impression that if somebody makes an offhanded comment, you're like, well, I gotta defend myself. It's like, well, you don't. Why? Why do you just exacerbate the situation? Like, why can't you just... I have 64 people on my Facebook block list. And I would say a good 3/4 of them, I don't know. They're just people that had been in groups who would post. And I'm like, well, you're a garbage person. I don't like your trash talking at all. It's making me feel bad. And I used to love it. I used to get right in there and say stuff too, but I don't know what changed. I think right after I got out of college, I was just like, I don't like this anymore. I want people to like you and
who is that John that the people out there might not be getting if they're just following me on Facebook or maybe even hearing? Is the radio show John closer to real John?
Yes, very much so. Because it's more reasonable. And
So there's radio John, there's real John, and there's onstage John.
Because you're funny to me, and you say nice things, and you look out for me. It's
well,
like,
I try.
Well, the example I use is, and I put this on my Facebook, and people, I don't think people would realize this, like, when I was sick and I was in the hospital and I was all passed out, and then when I woke up and you were laying on the floor sleeping beside my bed because you didn't want to leave, and like that, I don't think people, I don't know, like, people don't see that, but that's any relationship, I
guess.
That's
not funny at all.
It's nice. Well, you can,
what is the point of doing something if nobody's gonna laugh about it?
I don't know, but just, I don't even know, I wouldn't want to be with someone that wasn't passionate about something. So I try to, I don't know what my advice for you would be.
Well, has there been an improvement on the
I think
the
so
getting into fights on,
yeah,
the,
yeah, I think that I've slowly worn you down, but
we'll say that it was you.
I don't know, I think just you're definitely not like you were pre-Facebook. That was pretty brutal, because you used to like seek it out then. You were actively trying to make people upset, I think, and get them going. But you love it. See, stuff like that, making people like trolling, and I used to really like that, but now I just think like, oh my god. And I'm just convinced that like we're gonna get doxxed
and they're gonna, like, when those teens were walking through the yard yesterday and left the big piece of wood in our yard.
It was a message.
Like, oh my God. Well, I didn't think it was a message, but just the thought of, because immediately I was like, they're gonna mess up the car. They're gonna do something to the car.
So, given that I have this persona that mm-hmm. is a bad person, has there been blowback for you because somebody thinks that they know who I am and then they make opinions on the fact that we're together?
I would say not yet, because I preemptively blocked someone who I thought might want to get their two cents into me. And whether that's just me jumping to conclusions or not.
Has that person also given their two cents to another local comedy wife?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was kind of... But before that had happened, I had already preemptively blocked. Just because, like I say, I have many mutual friends. Me and you, I think almost all of our friends are mutual friends. And I just see a lot of... You know, comedy posts coming through. And I'm in a lot of the stand-up groups just from when I was dipping my toe in.
You need to dip it back.
Well, you know, you say that, but then I hear, like, I just don't want to get sucked in. I don't want to... I'll just say it. Like, I'm scared to put myself out there like that. I feel like I'm too vulnerable to open myself up to that. It's only going to take one person to say something cruel to me, and I'm just going to be destroyed.
Well,
I'm giving away my power. Everyone listening is just going to be, like, ripping me a new one. But, I don't know. It's always been very important to me to be liked. And... ever since I was a little kid, I've really wanted to be liked. And I think that carries over very much into my adulthood. And honestly, I know I've been harping on the sobriety thing, but the idea of me having a relapse and just making myself crazy thinking about what people would say about it is a very strong deterrent for me. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll be back to discuss this some more.
All right. I need a little rest. I feel like I'm panicking just from talking about it. It's terrible.
Well, let's hear a lullaby to calm down.
Okay.
Let's hear a lullaby by Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes.
Oh.
We'll be back on St. John Forward Radio.
Now. Where have you gone? We count the hours while we wait for the sun. And I don't sleep in the nighttime now. And all my dreams have all gone to ground. Lot of stars in the sky. Lot of moon and the tide. Lie a smile in the night.
And we're back.
Oh, geez.
St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with my comedy wife.
I'm your real life wife.
Not technically, but yeah.
Oh, whatever.
We don't have a piece of paper.
No.
That proves our love. Just the love. In and of itself. Some people have the paper and no love, so I think we're ahead of the game.
We're doing all right.
We have our cat. Yeah, our son, Tajikoma Noodles, Farewell.
He's a good baby. Yeah. Hey, Dudgy. Hey, you, Dudgy.
Did you leave the radio on?
I did. He's listening right now.
That's good. We're talking about how comedy has destroyed your life. even as bad as it gets, among the comedy wives and girlfriends... there aren't many of them because we're a bunch of loser degenerates. even among the handful of comedy wives there are, you're more well attended for comedy shows than some. There are some comedy wives who I've known their husband or boyfriend for years, and they've never come out to a single show.
Well, I mean, I'm a man baby, like I don't have family to stay home and look after, or I don't have a lot of responsibilities in my life, so I mean, it's not really fair to say.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not just stating a fact that okay. It doesn't happen. It's
all right, just making sure.
Well, okay, it could be responsibilities. Somebody's got to watch the kids, but exactly. Do you think there's more to it than that, or other comedy wives
aren't
avoiding
into comedy.
This.
They might be avoiding it. They might not want to be there. I get that. Like, I enjoy it, but I mean, I don't think I'm hurting anyone's feelings when I say this, but I mean, I know, well, when I was going to I went to the No Jokes Bard shows, all of them, for I think the first 2 years, and I knew people's sets, like the whole, you know, or the main bits of them. So that gets kind of, like, it sounds like a crappy thing to say, but it gets kind of monotonous. That's the word I would use. Like, there's nothing wrong with the set, and you're supposed to, like, do it, you know, practice it and nail it down. But for somebody like me who's sitting there and hearing the stuff over and over, like, it's just... Yeah. So,
well,
you don't
well,
know,
that,
maybe...
I suppose that's a complaint that anybody would have if they were coming to the shows regularly. It's not specific to whether or not you're doing it with one of the comedians, I suppose.
Yeah, no. What else? I don't know if all the other comedians do this, but you're just insufferable the day of a show. Like, I have to be careful. I can't talk to you. I can't. Yeah, we should talk about that. Like, to
Let's
you...
Hear it.
Well, no, listen, to you, it's just, you know, what's the big deal? It's 2 hours a month, but it's not. It's the whole day, sometimes the day before, sometimes the day after you're sulking or you're beefing with somebody, so I can't talk to you then. You know, we'll be out getting groceries. And if I text someone, you blow a gasket, but I'll...
Can you describe me blowing a gasket?
You'll go like, oh,
come on, we haven't gotten your dog. I gotta go home. We gotta get out of here. Hurry up. What are you doing? You're dilly-dallying around. Screwing around. Pay attention.
Yeah.
But then I'll turn around, and you're halfway down the aisle typing some ridiculous joke into your phone.
Well, as I explained the last time, kind of this happened. If I think of a joke and it doesn't go down in the phone, that joke is lost
legit.
Forever.
That's legit. That's fine.
If Greg wants to order a Dungeons & Dragons mini, that can probably wait until we get home.
Oh, shut up. I was...
Well, that's what the difference is.
I was looking at the pictures,
there's
and
a
he
difference
wanted to...
between having a texting back and forth with somebody.
Is there?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Because that person is still going to be there.
But I'm having a conversation with them at the time, and maybe they're not. He was waiting to put the order in, and he wanted me to choose.
Well, okay, but...
And that's like one time. That's one specific instance.
Well, okay, let me put it
and
this
I've been
way.
Better not
what
being
is
on my
the, what
phone.
Is the consequence of not having that conversation in the middle of the grocery store?
That I look up 2 seconds later and you're having a conversation on your phone anyway, so it's like, okay. But, I mean, I get it. You gotta write your jokes down and that's fine. I do understand that. I'm just saying things.
Okay, no, it's fine.
You can,
and, yeah, and this the performance thing, I agree to, and it's not that's not exclusive to comedy. We discussed with a musician friend of yours.
Yeah, no,
summer.
For sure.
So do you have any advice for comedians or their loved ones on how to navigate these rocky waters?
I would say just be mindful of the people who have your back, really, because who's there for you? Me. I'm always, you know, and I feel a lot of guilt that I don't come out to every show anymore. That upsets me quite a bit, but I also have to realize it's okay to give myself permission to not buy in whole hog and do things for myself too.
Yeah, and let's be clear, I'm not I'm not pushing that guilt.
No, he's
you.
Never done that. No, and you've told me that it's okay. But yeah. Like, you may as well tell me to fly up in the sky, like, as to not worry about something, because
yeah, it's usually you tell me that you're not going, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, and then I stay home and have a shame spiral.
And then you ask me five more times if it's okay that you can't come.
I've been better about that.
Whether or not I'm secretly furious.
I think I've been better about trying. I've been trying to make decisions and own them and just not worry about if you're going to be upset with me or not. But I also have to trust you to tell me, because you have done that before too, where, you know, the next day you've been stewing on it. And I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Which, well, that's human nature. Case, people do that, but I gotta trust you to tell me.
Yeah, well, if there's something being stewed on, I think part of our success is that even if it is stewed on, it's not for more than like a day at a time.
No, that's true.
If I'm stewing,
and I'm
on,
a bigger offender of that.
Yeah,
really. If, to be fair, out of the two of us,
if I'm stewing on something and I bring it up the next day, that's because I had spent the first day assuming that it would not be an issue, and then I'm still pissed off about it the next day. So rather than waiting for that that trap to trigger, I just kind of diffuse it myself.
I think that's a good, maybe that would even be like a relationship advice thing we could give out, because we do have a fight, but then get over it
sooner
and
the
we
better.
Never. What, the fight, the sooner the better?
Yeah.
Yeah, have the fight.
Well, give it some, maybe, if it's over something stupid, then you can maybe give yourself a chance to think about it. But
yeah, because sometimes I kind of pick my battles and I don't bring it up if it's just going to be a moot point, if I'm going to get over it in a day anyway. But like the other thing, too, I don't think I've ever called you a name when I was mad at you. I don't think. And I don't think you've ever done it to me.
Not that I
I've
recall.
Maybe said you're acting like a butthole, but I don't. But I don't think I've ever meant. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think I've ever said anything to you out of anger.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention we had a brief disagreement over something a week ago when we were out with some friends, and that was nothing. And then a friend of ours was like, "Is that who you guys have a fight?"
I didn't think that was a fight.
I don't know.
I felt like that was because I was getting in your grill a little bit because you weren't paying attention. But then I also had misunderstood, and that's the key too. Like, I immediately recognized that I was wrong, and I apologized, and then we were okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you got to own up when you're wrong, and that's right. I guess my thing, like well, I said before, if I'm upset about something, I'll just say it because I know if I just store it up, I'm going to blurt it out, and it's going to be ugly. Yeah. So,
Bad vibes.
We're near the end of the show, so I got to get the plugs in. I got to be quick because. Thank you for coming, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll put your.
Can I get a ride home?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'll put your Instagram and Twitter or whatever else you want me to put in the comments.
Don't put my Twitter. I don't use it.
Oh, all right. Put my Instagram. We've got coming up No Jokes Barred at the R Bar will be May 20th next week. I'm actually planning on having the owner of the R Bar on the show, so tune in that next Monday, the 15th. No Jokes Barred Deluxe on June 3rd. Ken Bolton's comedy class. New people are going to do a show on the 10th.
I want to see that.
And then the R Bar 3-year anniversary is on the 17th of June, so that'll be exciting. And I'm going to be on this year's French Festival, but I don't have time to talk about it. This has been St. John Forward Radio. We'll be back next Monday.
Bye.